decision also carries political significance for the governor's re-election campaign. I'm Janine Herbst, NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the estate of Joan B. Kroc, whose bequest serves as an enduring investment in the future of public radio and seeks to help NPR be the model for high-quality journalism in the 21st century. This is NPR.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from Creativity Matters, mental health counseling services where art and therapy come together, offering therapy for adults, families, children, and more. Information about services and scheduling at creativitymattersllc.com.
It's 88 degrees in Lawrence, 87 in Emporia, 87 in Manhattan. It is 6:06. From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio. We broadcast at 91.5 FM in Lawrence, also at 91.3 FM in Junction City. We're always online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from LMH Health Ortho Kansas, providing advanced orthopedic care to help patients stay healthy and active. More information is available at lmh.org/orthokansas.
Thanks so much for tuning into KPR this fine evening. Coming up in our next half hour, we will talk about the testimony of Justices Elena Kagan and Amy Coney Barrett on the Hill today. We'll also find out more about the reduction in size of two national monuments in Utah that were established by Presidents Clinton and Obama. Pretty dramatic reduction in size. Looks like a lot of this area will be open to mining. Causing a lot of controversy, so we will talk about that. And of course, don't forget, we have news headlines coming up at 6:30.
Support for KPR comes from Low Maintenance Landscape, building designs with hardy tropical plants, project portfolio, plant library, and more information at lowmaintenancelandscape.net.
Mostly clear skies tonight, but humid, with lows in the upper 60s. Tomorrow, sunny, highs in the lower 90s. Tomorrow night, humid, lows around 70. We have a 50% chance of showers and storms on Thursday. Still humid, highs in the lower 90s. It's 87 degrees in Topeka. It's 87 in Atchison. You're listening to KPR, and it's 6:20.
For his next attorney general. All this tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow morning, 5 to 9 a.m. on your KPR station's Morning Edition. Start off your day with the latest national, international, and regional news.
Support for KPR comes from Maselli's, now hosting events in its new speakeasy space with a quintessentially Lawrence feel at 1026 Massachusetts Street in downtown Lawrence. Venue and booking information online at maselli's.com.
News headlines are coming your way in just about 35 seconds. It's 88 degrees in Lawrence. It is 6:30.
Temporary, while it challenges a court order. Nirvi Shah, NPR News.
Well, stocks finished higher on Wall Street following the latest data showing inflation wasn't as bad as anticipated last month. This is NPR.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson. The Kansas Farm Bureau has backed all of President Donald Trump's selections for U.S. Congress, but not for Kansas governor. The Kansas Farm Bureau's Political Action Committee endorsed Republican Insurance Commissioner Vicki Schmidt for governor, despite Trump's endorsement of Republican State Senate President Ty Masterson. Schmidt chose Joe Newland, former Farm Bureau president, for lieutenant governor. Brendan Wirth, the director of political affairs for the Kansas Farm Bureau, says that endorsements are chosen with input from Farm Bureau members all across the state.
I think it's great to see that our organization can, whatever the politics of the day is, focus on our priorities and what Kansas agriculture needs.
The committee back in 2018 also did not endorse Trump's pick for governor. The crowded GOP primary has seven candidates, including Secretary of State Scott Schwab and businessman Philip Sarnecki. Kansas Governor Laura Kelly announced today that she has denied a request by Jonathan and Reginald Carr to have their death sentences commuted to life in prison. The brothers were convicted of a series of crimes that happened in Wichita in December of 2000 and left five people dead. They're currently on death row at the El Dorado Correctional Facility. Kelly said in a statement that she supports repealing the death penalty, but that the Carr brothers committed, quote, unspeakably heinous acts of torture and murder. A recent study from researchers at the University of Kansas found that estrogen-based hormone therapies may protect older women's brain health. Study co-author Robin Honey says women who participated in their study and who used hormonal birth control or menopausal hormonal therapy had larger memory structures in their brains. She says that suggests estrogen helps guard against brain disorders like Alzheimer's.
As a whole, it seems to really help women age and help them to feel better and help them to navigate the effects of aging in the brain. So that's what I'm excited about.
Honey says more research needs to be done to confirm the connection between estrogen and women's brain health. Former Kansas men's basketball coach Ted Owens will be inducted into the National Collegiate Basketball Hall of Fame this fall. The announcement was made yesterday by the National Association of Basketball Coaches. Owens was head coach at the University of Kansas for 19 seasons, from the mid-1960s through the 1982-1983 season. His 348 wins rank him as the fourth winningest coach in KU basketball history, just behind Bill Self, Fog Allen, and Roy Williams. Owens will be inducted to the Hall of Fame during a ceremony in Kansas City on October 22nd. You are listening to Kansas Public Radio.
This is All Things Considered from NPR News.
At Morning Edition, we know asking guests direct questions leads to more complete answers. Questions such as,
how significant is that?
Why did it get to be so difficult?
And what do you think is going to happen next?
To really understand what's happening, you have to understand why it's happening in the first place. Get the answers with us every weekday on Morning Edition from NPR News.
You can hear Morning Edition tomorrow, 5 to 9 a.m. on your KUPR stations. Matthew Algio will be your local host. From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 96.1 FM in Lawrence, many, many other frequencies as well, not necessarily in Lawrence. We've got one in Emporia, we've got one in Atchison. Check out all of the listings at kansaspublicradio.org. You'll see a complete rundown of all of our frequencies. Plus, you can just stream us if you're not close to any of those. Both KPR1 and KPR2 schedules available at kansaspublicradio.org along with the live stream.
Support for KPR comes from Nuvant House of Lawrence, offering care services to assist living, including day-stay, short-term, and long-term options. Information at nuvanthouse.com.
Thanks for joining us this evening. We have about 11 minutes of All Things Considered still to come. If you're joining us on KPR1 at 7:01, we will have news headlines followed by Stardate, then 2 hours of classical music with Steve Seal. If you're joining us on KPR2, listen to what I think is the most underrated show that we have on the air. It's so good. If you haven't heard it, you should. It's called Reveal. Great investigative journalism. Coming up at 7 o'clock on KPR2. It's 10 minutes before 7.
But get it done right. It's a new workday. From Progressive Insurance, where drivers can bundle and customize their home and auto insurance in one place with the goal of protecting what matters most. Coverage options at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. From Fisher Investments, as a fiduciary, Fisher Investments is obligated to act in their clients' interest. Learn more at fisherinvestments.com. Investing in securities involves the risk of loss. And from the Public Welfare Foundation.
Bill Maher received this country's highest award for comedy. We spoke with Maher for NPR's Newsmakers video series about why he thinks he deserved it on the next morning edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow, 5 to 9 a.m. on your KPR stations. Morning Edition is the program you will hear. Matthew Algio returns to take over the local news duties.
Support for KPR comes from the Lawrence Times, an online news publication covering Lawrence and Douglas County since 2021, with a goal of maintaining open news access for all. News and more at lawrencekstimes.com.
We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org. or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from the Lawrence Public Library, offering the New York Times and Washington Post online, Ancestry.com, and more, all available with a library card. Card information at lplks.org.
Up next, we have news headlines, then a little bit of start date, then 2 hours of classical music. Steve Seal will be your host at 9 o'clock. It's Jazz in the Night. Just kind of feels like summer, which I suppose makes sense because it's July. Humid conditions tonight, lows in the upper 60s, sunshine tomorrow with a high in the lower 90s, humid tomorrow night with a low around 70 degrees. It's 88 degrees in Lawrence. It is 7:01, and the news is next.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Janine Herbst. The U.S. is reinstating a blockade on the Strait of Hormuz after the U.S. and Iran stepped up attacks around the critical passageway. President Trump is also reversing his demand for a 20% toll on ships going through the strait and will instead strike new investment deals with countries in the region. NPR's Deepa Shivaram has more.
Oil is flowing like never before, the president said in a post on social media. In the same post, Trump said the Strait of Hormuz would now be open for all ships, except for Iran. He also backtracked on his plan to impose a 20% toll on cargo coming through the strait. Now, Trump says instead of the toll, some countries in the region will make big investments in the U.S. Trump says leaders of those countries called and said they wanted something different.
We would like to invest tremendously in the United States, as opposed to charging a fee.
Trump claims these new investments will bring factories and plants into the U.S., which will create, quote, millions of high-paying jobs. But no details were provided. Deepa Shivaram, NPR News, the White House.
A second fatal ICE shooting in a week has prompted the Trump administration to change how ICE officers conduct business in terms of traffic stops and use of deadly force. NPR's Sergio Martinez-Beltran has more.
DHS's policy on paper says deadly force cannot be used solely to prevent someone from fleeing unless the person poses a significant threat of death or serious physical harm to the agent or others. Now, the issue is that in these two last cases in Maine and Texas, we haven't seen video evidence that backs up DHS's claims that in Texas, the man, in their words, weaponized his car against the ICE agent, and that in Maine, the man posed a public safety threat. So advocates, politicians, and community members are calling for independent investigations.
NPR Sergio Martinez-Beltran reporting. New York Governor Kathy Hochul signed an executive order placing a moratorium on large data center projects in the state. Samuel King with the New York Public News Network reports it's the first moratorium of its kind in the country.
The moratorium will pause state environmental permits for hyperscale data center projects, or those which will use more than 50 megawatts of electricity. Governor Hochul says that will give the state time to come up with a regulatory framework that protects the utility ratepayers and environment.
Guardrails to reduce the risk to our energy grid, minimize land disruption, noise pollution, and protect our natural resources, especially our water supply.
Tech NYC, which represents New York City's tech industry, says some parts of Hochul's order make sense, but says the pause will drive needed investment elsewhere, hurting the state's economy. For NPR News, I'm Samuel King in Albany.
U.S. futures contracts are trading higher at this hour. Both Dow and S&P 500 futures up about 1/10%. NASDAQ futures up about 3/10. You're listening to NPR News.
Stardate July 14th. Our solar system is passing through one of the spiral arms that makes the Milky Way galaxy look like a pinwheel. But the key words there are passing through. The solar system moves through the galaxy a little faster than the spiral arms do. So over hundreds of millions of years, we cross all of the galaxy's major arms. And those crossings could be dangerous. A spiral arm is a region where a passing wave squeezes giant clouds of gas and dust, triggering the birth of new stars. Many of the stars are especially hot and bright, so they light up the spiral arms. The star-forming clouds are dense and turbulent, and a recent study suggested that could be where the danger comes in. Researchers looked at tiny crystals in Earth's crust. They found that the composition of the crystals varied over periods of hundreds of millions of years. During some of those periods, Earth's crust appeared to be especially hot, and the timing of those periods may correspond to passages through the spiral arms. As we move through the dense clouds in the arms, big balls of ice and rock far from the sun could be nudged inward. Some of them could ram into Earth, creating conditions that could account for some of the crystals. So while the Milky Way's spiral arms may be beautiful, they may also be deadly. Look for the glowing band of the Milky Way curving across the east as night falls and arching high overhead later on. Today's program was made possible by Mercer Caverns in Calaveras County in California's historic gold country. More information at mercercaverns.net. I'm Billy Henry.
Well, welcome into our Tuesday evening classical music. I'm Steve Seal. Thanks for coming along. I mentioned Amadeus a few minutes ago. And the question being the sort of relative accuracy of portrayals of Mozart, and saying I haven't seen the most recent version of Amadeus, the one on streaming television. I suppose it would be interesting to update that character, as there are some historical inaccuracies, as entertaining as Tom Hulce's portrayal was back in the Milos Forman film in the 80s. We'll talk more about that later. But as far as historical accuracies or inaccuracies go, how many decades in Hollywood were Robin Hood and his merry men portrayed wearing tights, and how accurate was that? I think that's really why Mel Brooks sent it up in his Men in Tights. This is from the Errol Flynn version of The Adventures of Robin Hood with music of Eric Korngold. Thank you. Robin Hood and His Merry Men, from the score to the Errol Flynn version of The Adventures of Robin Hood, the music of Eric Korngold, played there by the Cincinnati Pops Orchestra, led by Eric Kunzel. Quinn Yen with music of Germaine Taillefer of Romance in A Major. Support for classical music on KPR comes from Cromwell Solar. Since 1982, installing independent energy systems, such as backup batteries and solar panels for farms, homes, and businesses. More information is at cromwellsolar.com. And the University of Kansas, a constellation of campuses working to improve lives in Kansas and beyond, through health research, public safety training, workforce development, natural resource protection, and more. Details at kansas.ku.edu.
Here's a look at the KPR weather forecast. It's 87 and partly cloudy. Wind is from the east at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, clear with a low in the upper 60s. Wind will be from the east at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, clear with a high in the low 90s. Wind will be from the east at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the low 70s. It's 87 and partly cloudy. Stay tuned for more KPR weather. I'm Maria Lopez.
The Borodin Quartet here. Moonlighting, though, they're not playing Borodin, they're playing Schubert. This is the string quartet number 10 in E-flat by Franz Schubert.
Thank you.
Quartet No. 10 by Franz Schubert. Played there by the Borodin Quartet.
Support for classical music on KPR comes from the LMH Health Cancer Center, offering full-service cancer care from diagnostics to treatment to recovery, all in one place. More information is available at lmh.org/cancercare. And Audio Reader, hosting a donation drive at the Lead Center in Lawrence, Tuesday, July 21st from 4 to 7 p.m., accepting gently used stereo equipment, vinyl records, cassette tapes, and musical instruments. More details at reader.ku.edu.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 86 and clear. Wind is from the east-southeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, clear with a low in the upper 60s. Wind will be from the east at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, clear with a high in the low 90s. Wind will be from the east at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the low 70s. It's 86 and clear. Stay tuned for more KPR weather.
From Mozart next, the fourth of his four horn concertos. Now, there's a funny story about this piece. He wrote, I think, maybe all of his four horn concertos for a horn player in Vienna named Joseph Leutgeb. And in this particular one, there is the score was written in red, green, blue, and some black ink. Now, was this a practical joke on Mozart's part to throw off Leutgeb? Maybe, because there is quite a bit of truth to Mozart being a practical joker. However, it might have actually been conversely a code that he put in there for Leutgeb. We don't know. But it's fun to think of the practical joke angle. Anyway, Barry Tuckwell here with the London Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Peter Magg. Barry Tuckwell playing the Horn Concerto No. 4 by Mozart. From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio. KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, FM 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, FM 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, FM 91.3. KANQ Chanute, FM 90.3. And online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 86 and clear. Wind is from the east-southeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, clear with a low in the upper 60s. Wind will be from the east at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, clear with a high in the low 90s. Wind will be from the east at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the low 70s. It's 86 and clear. Stay tuned for more KPR weather.
I
evening hangs beneath the moon, a silver thread on darkened dune, with closing eyes and resting head, I know that sleep is coming soon. Just some of the lyrics to Erica Whitaker's beautiful piece, Sleep. Originally, he had wanted to set Robert Frost's poem Stopping by the Woods on a Snowy Evening, but it turns out Frost's poem was still under copyright and he couldn't use the words. So he came up with a creative solution. I'll play you the beautiful result coming up.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Janine Herbst. Israeli airstrikes killed at least 13 Palestinians across Gaza today. This as Gaza's health ministry says 15 Palestinians have been killed, more than 200 wounded over the past week. NPR's Anas Baba has more.
Israeli strikes hit several parts of Gaza on Tuesday. In northern Gaza, hospital officials say seven people were killed when a strike hit a police post where civilians had gathered to file complaints. Gaza Interior Ministry says those killed included the head of police in northern Gaza and his deputy. The Israeli military said the strike targeted and killed four men described as Hamas militants in southern Gaza. Medics say an Israeli strike hit 10 sheltering displaced families, killing one person. Separately, health officials say a 10-year-old child was killed by Israeli gunfire with a bullet in the chest. Anas Baba, NPR News, Gaza.
On Capitol Hill, a rare congressional testimony today. Two Supreme Court justices, Elena Kagan and Amy Coney Barrett, appeared before House and Senate committees appealing for more security funding for the high court. They told lawmakers about threats of violence and intimidation, something judges around the country are also experiencing. Justice Barrett recounted taking a bulletproof vest home and the reaction from her family.
They have required me to, my children, to think about and see things that children should not have to see or think about. One example is when threats to my life were particularly intense a few years ago around the time of the Dobbs leak. My security detail sent me home with a bulletproof vest, and I carried it into my house, put it into my bedroom, dropped it down on a table, turned around, and my 12-year-old son was standing in the doorway of my bedroom, and he wanted to know what it was and why I had it.
Justice Kagan condemned rhetoric from public officials who verbally attack judges when they disagree with their rulings. It's the first time since 2019 that justices spoke before Congress. At the World Cup, the world's number one ranked team, France, was defeated in a semifinal match at a European rival. Steve Futterman reports.
The favorite to win the World Cup is out. France falls to Spain 2-0, and it will be Spain now advancing to Sunday's championship match against either England or Argentina. Spain never trailed in this match, jumping out to a 1-0 lead in the 22nd minute on a penalty shot. Spain made it 2-0 in the second half. But it was the Spanish defense that was the big story once again, preventing France's great striker, Kylian Mbappe, from scoring. Meanwhile, Spain's great goalkeeper, Unai Simon, comes through with his sixth shutout in seven matches. He has allowed only one goal in the World Cup competition. For NPR News, I'm Steve Futterman at the World Cup in Arlington, Texas.
And you're listening to NPR News from Washington. An outbreak of a parasitic gastrointestinal disease is growing across the U.S. As Quinn Kleinfelter from member station WDET reports, the epicenter of the disease is in Michigan.
Cyclosporiasis causes weight loss, cramping, and what's known as explosive diarrhea. It's affecting over 30 states, but has hit Michigan hardest. Cases here have doubled in less than a week to more than 3,300. Wayne State University Dr. Tina Chopra says the parasite causing the illness most likely came from fresh produce, but she says pinpointing the exact source is difficult.
They had to interview 1,000 people to come to this conclusion that it might be lettuce or cabbage or some green leafy salad.
The disease does not spread from person to person and can take weeks for symptoms to develop. For NPR News, I'm Quinn Kleinfelter in Detroit.
T-Rex is bringing in a lot of money. Sotheby's Auction House just sold a 67-million-year-old Tyrannosaurus Rex specimen called Gus for for $50.1 million. That's the most expensive dinosaur ever sold at auction. It beat a Stegosaurus skeleton, sold for $44.6 million 2 years ago. The T-Rex Gus has 183 fossil bone elements. That adds up to more than 60% of its bones, and that makes it one of the world's most complete dinosaur specimens ever found. It was found in South Dakota. I'm Janine Herbst, and you're listening to NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the Lodestar Foundation, inspired by the principle that helping those in need is a path to a happier, healthier, and more meaningful life. Learn more at LodestarFoundation.org. This is NPR.
Good evening and thanks for coming along. I'm Steve Seal. We've got classical music underway here on this Tuesday evening. Beautiful choral music by the contemporary American composer Eric Whitaker later on, and one of our elder statesmen of American music, Adolphus Hale Storck. Of course, also one of the greatest names among living composers, too. His Second Symphony in about 10 minutes. Thank you. the Boccherini Minuet, Luigi Boccherini's best-known tune, and one that has been used for ages in ads for, oh, I don't know, fancy cat food and whatnot, to signal high-class things, right? I mean, once you if you are drinking your tea with your pinky upraised, that's the little signature tune that gets played in your television commercial. Poor Boccherini, to have such a lovely little tune utilized in such a way by Madison Avenue. We heard I Solisti Italiani performing it.
Public radio is civic infrastructure built for accountability.
The government is actively trying to rewrite this history.
For insight.
That has huge effects here at home, right? What does that look like?
For finding answers.
NPR's investigations team explains what...
For good company.
I keep learning again and again that hope is the right response to the human condition.
We are still here for your right to be curious. This is NPR. Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 86 and clear. Wind is from the east-southeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, clear with a low in the upper 60s. Wind will be from the east at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, clear with a high in the low 90s. Wind will be from the east at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the low 70s. It's 86 and clear. Stay tuned for more KPR weather.
So here's a fascinating figure from history. Her name was actually Amanda Aldridge. She was a British opera singer and teacher, but when she composed, she used the pseudonym Montague Ring. So here we have yet another instance of a woman in classical music using a pseudonym that was either male or of undetermined gender, right? And this is a piece of hers. From her suite Carnival, suite of five dances, this is called Harlequin, played here by Rochelle Sennett. Harlequin by Montague Ring, whose real name was Amanda Aldridge, but when she published music, she used that sort of gender undetermined pseudonym, Montague Ring. And we heard it played there by Rochelle Sennett. So here's music by another person with a very interesting name, and that would be Adolphus Hailstork, one of the absolute greatest names in classical music, and sort of an elder statesman in contemporary classical music these days. He is 85, still going strong. One interesting thing about him is that he's actually Adolphus Hailstork III. When you get a name that great, you want to pass it along to your son and then your grandson. This is his Symphony No. 2, played here by David Lockington of the Grand Rapids Symphony.
Thank you.
Symphony No. 2 by American composer Adolphus Hailstork. Played there by the Grand Rapids Symphony, conducted by David Lockington.
Thank you.
Sleep by Eric Whitaker, the Eric Whitaker singers performing. From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio. KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, FM 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, FM 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, FM 91.3. KANQ Chanute, FM 90.3. And online at kansaspublicradio.org.
I'm Maria Lopez. Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 84 and fair. Wind is from the southeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, clear with a low in the upper 60s. Wind will be from the east at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, clear with a high in the low 90s. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the low 70s. It's 84 and fair. From KPR's 24-hour weather center, I'm Maria Lopez.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Janine Hurst. A second fatal ICE shooting in a week has the Trump administration changing how ICE officers conduct business in terms of traffic stops and use of deadly force. NPR's Sergio Martinez-Beltran has more.
DHS's policy on paper says deadly force cannot be used solely to prevent someone from fleeing unless the person poses a significant threat of death or serious physical harm to the agent or others. Now, the issue is that in these two last cases in Maine and Texas, we haven't seen video evidence that backs up DHS's claims that in Texas, the man, in their words, weaponized his car against the ICE agent, and that in Maine, the man posed a public safety threat.
NPR's Sergio Martinez-Beltran reporting. The Pentagon says President Trump's deployment of the National Guard to Washington, D.C. has been extended until Inauguration Day 2029. That's as thousands of armed and uniformed troops have been patrolling the city for nearly a year. NPR's Kat Lonsdorf has more.
President Trump first deployed the National Guard to D.C. last August after declaring a crime emergency in the city despite violent crime being at a 30-year low. That emergency declaration lifted a month later, but the Guard and the Federal Law Enforcement Task Force that they're a part of remained. Since then, the number of troops has steadily increased to now nearly 5,000 from more than 20 different states and a cost of around $3 million per day. Two different studies have found that the presence of the National Guard has had no effect on violent crime in the city. The White House did not immediately respond to NPR's request for comment on why the extension of the deployment for another 2.5 years was deemed necessary. Kat Lonsdorf, NPR News, Washington.
Senator Lindsey Graham's sister, Darlene Graham, has been sworn in as a temporary replacement in the U.S. Senate after his death over the weekend. She's the first woman to represent the state in the Senate, and she'll serve until January. Lindsey Graham was running for re-election, and a special primary will be held next month to replace his name on the ballot. Water levels in Lake Powell continue to fall toward critically low levels. From member station KJZZ, Alex Hager reports the nation's second largest reservoir could soon fall too low to generate hydropower.
The latest data from the Federal Bureau of Reclamation shows that water could fall below the intakes for hydropower turbines as soon as February. The reservoir sits in Utah and Arizona. It's now less than a quarter full after more than 20 years of drought and climate change have sapped the Colorado River. Humans have struggled to rein in demand accordingly. An added boost of water from upstream reservoirs helped prop up Lake Powell in the early summer, but the benefits of that extra water are running out. Negotiators from the 7 western states that use the river can't agree on a plan to use less water. The federal government is likely to install its own plan, which may trigger lawsuits. For NPR News, I'm Alex Hager in Phoenix.
and you're listening to NPR News from Washington. In Brazil, a court put new limits on the role that arrested former President Jair Bolsonaro might play in this year's presidential election. He's a close political ally of President Trump, whose firebrand politics laid the path for a right-wing wave in Latin America. Catherine Osborne has more.
Bolsonaro's son, Flavio, is running for president of Brazil to carry on his father's right-wing legacy. His father, Jair, is under house arrest for attempting a coup in 2023. The former president is also banned from posting on social media. On Monday, a judge on Brazil's top court ruled Flavio Bolsonaro violated that ban by posting a letter of endorsement from his father online. The judge barred Flavio from visiting his father until after the first day of voting. Flavio called the ruling disproportionate and illegal interference in the election and pledged to challenge it. Brazilians head to the polls in October. For NPR News, I'm Catherine Osborne in Rio de Janeiro.
The House today passed a bill to make daylight saving permanent and end the practice observed by most of the country of changing clocks twice a year. The bill now has to pass the Senate, where it's not clear it has the votes needed to pass. The Sunshine Protection Act would put most of the country permanently on daylight saving time. Not all states and territories change clocks, though, twice a year, and this bill, if it becomes law, wouldn't affect them. Inflation fell more than expected last month, but the outlook is uncertain. Annual inflation hit 3.5% in June, slowing sharply after hitting a more than three-year high of 4.2%. You're listening to NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the William and Flora Hewlett Foundation, investing in creative thinkers and problem solvers who help people, communities, and the planet flourish. More information is available at Hewlett.org.
It's All Night Jazz here on Kansas Public Radio. I'm Tom Parkinson. Thanks for stopping by. Let's check out some jazz together, shall we? Let's start out with something from Roy Hargrove and Antonio Hart, trumpeter Roy Hargrove and alto saxophonist Antonio Hart from the Tokyo Sessions. Here's Bohemia After Dark.
Thank you.